This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 125. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can call us on 0208 816 7691. And you can email us on coach at pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe. Well, I'm on my own again this week because Berners is away on the cricket tour. I will surely be getting some stories from that when he returns, and the boss is away sorting things out in India. So that means I am in charge of operations over here in the UK, and the roof hasn't fallen in yet. So if you're listening, boss, nothing's gone particularly wrong as yet. But what that means is that there's nobody else on the show with me this week. But luckily, we have some interviews which we have been saving up for just such an eventuality. So we're going to get into those in a second. The first is with Menno Gazandam. You listened to the first part of the interview last week on spin bowling. And this week, we're going to go into a little bit more depth about how a spinner can deceive a batsman. And then we speak to Brian Wardle, and if you've been following pitchvision.com, you already know of Brian. He's a personal trainer from Leeds, and he combines powerlifting with cricket, which is an interesting idea and one that's working very well for him. So he gives us an explanation as to how that works for him and how it can work for you too if you want to be stronger, faster and more powerful. Just before we get into those interviews, a little announcement for next week. There won't be a show because it's my turn to be away. I'm going to an undisclosed location so the paparazzi don't follow me, but I'll be back the week after next with more interviews, more shows and more exciting stuff. So let's get into this week's interviews, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. There's a spin bowler, a leg spin bowler that I know who plays in club cricket, who talks about that idea of giving up and turning to the dark side. What he calls the dark side is bowling seam up, which is always a massive temptation, especially in England, yeah. where the pitches are green and the weather is overcast, and you think, well, it's going to be a lot easier to bowl average medium pace than it ever is to bowl leg spin. How do you keep that hope going? Even when you're in the real depth of the dip of, you know, how am I going to get through? You know, you get two overs on a Saturday and you think, goodness me, I could have 12 or 13 overs if I was bowling seam up. So how do you get through that?
That's a very tough one. And if you're in a situation where you do get two overs every Saturday and you can get 13 by bowling seam up, it's very tempting. And I like the way you put it, going to the dark side. that's very nicely put. But look, if you've got a talent for bowling cricket, maybe you do, then there's no need to torture yourself and stay a spin bowler. If you find you can swing the ball at 90 miles an hour, then I suggest you go bowl quick. Yeah. And I know a few guys who were spin bowlers at school, and they just found playing at club level in the 1920, suddenly they find that their bodies have adapted, they've grown, they've got stronger, they start gymming, and they suddenly find the ball just comes out nicely when the ball seam up and they've got generating some pace. But don't just do it because you're fed up with spin bowling or don't really get the breaks. First try. First see if you can get a coach. First see if you can get material that's going to help you. First see if there's a way you can improve your game. Have a chat to your captain or your coach and say, look, I'm getting two overs on every Saturday. Rather drop me one team and give me 10 overs that I can prove myself. Now, instead of sticking me in the first team, and I get two overs, drop me to the second or third. And then let me prove to you that if I bowl attacking you and I bowl 10 overs, I'm going to take your wickets. And then you're going to do it. I'd rather go that avenue before I become an average medium pacer. Because all you do is you're going from a frustrated spin bowler to a dead average medium pacer. I know if I go and try and bowl seam up now, I'll be a little dibbly dobbler. I think Jonathan Trott will be quicker than me. Now, just to bowl seam up to get a few extra overs, I don't know if that will make me happy. In the end, I play cricket because I like it. It makes me happy. And I love the art of spin bowling. So I'd rather try and bowl spin, get to bowl it in weeks and nets, work hard, find other avenues where I can get a few more overs. And there are ways that don't just throw your arms up. Like I say, try and get a coach, try and get material, speak to your club, speak to your coach. Most of the times they mean well. It's not a malicious decision to bowl you two overs. But if you actually speak to them, they can maybe say, okay, well, this guy is showing initiative. He's very eager. He wants to work. Look at how hard he worked in the net. And tell them, look, I'm going to work an extra day in the net just so I can get more overs. Just please give me a chance. Just if the guy's smashing the 260, just keep me on, please. I just need one game to prove myself. If all else of that fails, okay, maybe you've got to do something. I'd rather move clubs if that's the situation, because if I have a club captain and a coach that simply doesn't want to give me a chance, don't try me, why would they suddenly give me a go if I start bowling medium pace? So, you know, I have to be a pretty desperate situation before I start bowling seam up, I'd say. So rather take the other avenues first. There's ways to resolve the situation.
The rewards, if you get through that dip, the rewards on the other side are much greater than you would ever have if you were bowling average medium pace, which most spinners will, right?
Yeah, because it almost feels like you're giving up. It's like doing something yourself instead of making something yourself instead of buying it. There's much more work satisfaction knowing that you've gone through some hardship to actually get where you want to go. You don't want to become a medium pacer and suddenly had five overs instead of two overs and still bowling medium little double doublers and getting one wicket a game or no wickets just because you're an average medium pacer. Rather go through the difficult period and struggle. And if you have to take a drop in the team, do that. But you're going to come out stronger. You're a stronger bowler, both physically and mentally, and a better bowler by having gone through the difficult period. And that's sort of strength you can draw on from when you go through another difficult patch.
How does it feel when you do achieve that success? You know, you get that 5-wicket haul and you think, I'm really onto something here. And, you know, you're learning how to deceive batsmen and you're getting control of the ball. And you're getting wickets and you're keeping the run rate down. How does that feel?
Well, I guess that's the reason we all play cricket or we all become bowlers. It feels great. We all know what it's like going through a bad patch, and you have to add on to the fact that you're not getting a bowl or really struggling, you're not even knowing you want to be a spin bowler. To go from there to actually, you know, running through batting attacks when you're taking 5-6 wickets a game, it's a great feeling. And it's definitely a snowball effect. I mean, you feed on this positive energy, you feed on a good run. The better you are, the more you practice, the more effective you practice. It really is sort of an exponential curve. It's no feeling like it. Every time you practice, you get more out of it. You'll find it feeds itself. So it doesn't come easy. You're gonna have to go through this rough patch, but if you stick with it, the reward is gonna be so much sweeter. And when you get that 5-wicket haul, you're gonna realize the next 5-wicket haul is not that far, because now you've done it. You know how the ball comes out of your hand. You know how it felt. You heard it fizzing coming out of your hand. It hit the track, it bit and spun big. Those are things that comes easier. Once you've gone through hardship, and once you start taking 5 wickets a game, then you're well, it's not that ball. What it feels like to be in a good run and a good form. I know when the ball's coming out right. I know when something goes wrong, you realize very quickly what is actually going wrong. That didn't feel right. Because when you take 5 wickets, the ball definitely is coming out right. You know what it feels like. So once that happens as well, is once again, when you go through a bad patch, you rebound quicker because you've drawn on that time when things really went well. That's also strength you can tap into.
And when you have got through that, of course, then you're the one in control. Then you're no longer limited by factors which are out of control. You're only limited by your own potential. And you know, there's going to be people listening to this whose potential is to play international cricket. So once you've got it in your, once you've got that control, the ball is in your hand and you've got the control, then you can reach that potential easily, can't you?
you certainly can, and you don't have to be some sort of child prodigy to start taking wickets for your club when you're 13, playing for senior club club team, 5 wickets every weekend. I'm playing senior club cricket at the moment in South Africa, Premier League, which is just under the first class level, and there's a left arm in there. It used to be a medium pace. He actually became a spinner about 2 years ago, and that guy will be playing for South Africa given 2 years. He's a left armer. I won't give his name right now in case he doesn't make it, but he is literally running through attacks at the moment, and he is, what's his age at the moment? He is 25. You know, so he only started bowling spin at 23, but I can see that guy playing international cricket within a year or two. No doubt about it. So you don't have to worry that things don't happen quick. Sometimes, you know, some guys just have it and they take wickets at 13 and they get drafted into the, you know, the England under 16 teams, or the South African under 16 teams, and they play on 19 World Cups and all those sort of things. But plenty of those guys actually don't go on to make it further. I mean, if you took a quick poll, there's quite a lot of international stars out there that didn't play representative cricket at a young age. You can be older or progress slower and get to where you want to be. You don't have to try a few things, get it all right, start taking big wickets and think, okay, this is it. Or if it doesn't work, that's the end for me. I'm not a spin bowler. Not at all. If you keep at it, keep working at your art, you need a lucky break as well, maybe. But things will come right for you at one end. And if you've got the talent to play international cricket, then really nothing should be stopping you. You should be getting there. If you keep hard, keep working hard, keep believing in yourself. And when you go through these bad patches, that is definitely a spin bowler's curse, because you don't get the support you need when you go through these bad patches. If you get through them, then you can be playing just cricket at any age.
Okay, so that's quite exciting to know that is within the grasp of people who are listening to this. That's an exciting thing. So let's talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of how you do that and how you get to that point where you've got control. So I suppose the first thing is, because you haven't got pace on your side, you have to deceive the batsman. You have to keep them guessing. So how do you do that?
How do you keep the batsman guessing?
Yep.
Yeah, you don't have pace on your side. You don't need pace. I was watching the first test between India and England last weekend. I was hearing Michael Atherton speak when I can't remember if it was Harbhajan or Swan bowling. But Michael Atherton said a very true thing about spin bowling, and he's batting, just being a batsman himself. So the key to playing spin is picking the length. No, that's very true. Now, he didn't say it is to be able to handle the spin or play golf or track. He actually said the length. It's really the line of length that's in the air. So turn that around. What do you do as a batsman then? As a bowler, deceive the batsman, and he doesn't need to be able to pick your line of length. So actually, in fact, what you're doing as a spin bowler is you're not beating the batsman off the track. You're actually beating him in the air. That is very important. You need to beat your batsman in the air before the ball lands. If it then spins, that's bonus, that's extra, that rounds it off. But it doesn't help the ball spin big and the batsman knew exactly where it's going to land. Because if he knows exactly where it's going to land, he knows exactly what to do with it. He can either leave it or play it, depending on how much the pitch is spinning at the moment. But if he doesn't get to the ball, he's off balance because his head is moving, he's trying to follow the ball. And then when he plays a shot, the spin will then beat the bat. So how do you fool him there? Well, that's flight. That's drift and that's dip. I mean, that's the three things, the three magical things a spinner has. It doesn't get more technical there, but it doesn't get more simple. It's as difficult and as easy as that. It's those three things. But those three things are quite hard to get right. And we talk about flight. You want so many things you can say about flight, but what you really want to do is get the ball above the batsman's eye level. The reason you get it above his eye level is because you want the batsman to move his head. If you can imagine the ball coming up, you have to lift your eyes up as a batsman or move your head up to follow the ball. If the pitch is flat, if you're bowling it flat, you can look square on straight and you can see the ball without moving his head. If you throw it up above his eye level, he's got to move his head. Now, one of the keys in batting is don't move your head while you're batting. You've got to keep your balance. So that's what you're doing with the bowler. You're trying to get the batsman off balance. Now, add on to that, you give a ball a good rip because you want to get spin. But the nice side effects of those revolutions you're putting on the ball is you're going to get drift sideways. If you're leggy or an offie, you're going to get drift. Just in different directions, and you will get dip. So the batsman imagines the ball is going to be a nice hole volley. It's looking, he's judging the length, and the ball dips on him and just falls short. So when he's playing the drive, which is what you want him to do, the ball is just shorter of where he thinks the ball is going to be, and he finds he's not to the pitch of the ball. Now, then he's in all sorts of trouble because now he's playing at the ball, he's playing aggressive shot, he's already beating him in the air. So now he's already off balance even before the ball is pitched. And now the ball pitches and turns. So you've opened up a can of worms by it, but just beating him in the air. That's a concept that most spin bowlers don't actually get. They think, well, I've got to spin the ball big. Yes, you need to spin the ball big. You're a spin bowler. You've got to do it. But don't forget that the real key batsman there. That's how you keep the batsman guessing. If you bowl his stock ball all the time and give it a nice flight, nice drift, nice dip, then he doesn't know how where it's going to pitch because the dip is not the same every time. It dips slightly shorter every time. It might be a little bit fuller. It's difficult for him to judge that. Add on to that effect that you can now get those three things right as you start to give subtle variations. I'm not talking your doodles and flippers. That's big variations. I'm talking subtle variations in the speed. So once you get those three things going, the batsman's really in trouble when he's playing because he can't really pick your length. Now suddenly you start varying the pace in the air as well, very subtly. So he's used to playing a certain speed. It's like the same thing as a quick bowler bowling a slower ball. The batsman is conditioned to playing that shot. Suddenly the ball is slower and he mistimes. It's exactly what you're doing. It's just the pace difference is not that big. You can push it through slightly quicker, push it through slightly slower, keep mixing up just subtle variations. Use the crease as well, different angles, come around the wicket, that's a big angle. But if you come over the wicket, you can just slight variations, back of the crease, front of the crease, and just keep bowling a stock ball in that way. You can go on deceiving the batsman all day long, bowling a normal stock ball, getting flight drift and dip and subtle bowling variations in the speed and angle. That you're bowling at. So let's sum this up by being a batsman or keeping your batsman guessing is that you need to deceive him in the air.
We like to look at unique areas of the world of cricket on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. And one area that we spend a lot of time looking at is the world of strength and conditioning and fitness training. And I'm joined on the line now by Brian Wardle, who is a personal trainer. He's a club cricketer and he's also running a little personal self-experiment trying to combine the worlds of powerlifting with the world of cricket. And it's an interesting combination, that, because when you think of a cricketer, an athletic cricketer, you don't necessarily think of the same type of person when you think of a great big power lifter. So so what are the benefits to you, in your mind, what are the benefits of using powerlifting in order to improve your cricket?
Yeah, well, obviously with powerlifting, you're developing a lot of attributes. You've got obviously speed, strength, power, and just basically from that it relates to the performance on the field. So it's just sort of goes hand in hand, really.
So there'll be people listening to this who think to themselves, okay, I'm not really sure what powerlifting is to start with. What is powerlifting?
Basically, there's three lifts with the powerlifting. There's a squat, the bench press, and the deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's trying to improve strength in all three lifts. So basically, through training, you're trying to improve how much you can lift for one repetition.
Again, if people are not quite familiar with the three types of lifts, the bench press is where you're pressing the bar from a lying down position on a bench upwards.
squat, I think most people are familiar with. You put a bar on your back and you squat down and come back up again. And the deadlift is you're lifting as much weight as possible off the floor, right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
How have you found, since you've started powerlifting and playing cricket, how have you found your cricket performance change?
Well, that's an interesting part, because with regards to the powerlifting, I've been doing that for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And with the cricket, I've had quite a bit of a layoff. This is my second season back. So taking that into account, it's pretty much sort of trial and error at the moment. So last season, as I say, was my first season back, and I was training on a 4-day split. And I found that with cricket training and playing on a weekend, that was quite a demanding schedule. Four resistance training sessions. Mm-hmm. Again, practice session was, you know, it's very, very tough. So I learned very quickly from that I would need to sort of reduce the amount of the sort of workload that I was doing. So this season's been a little bit different. I've reduced my workouts my resistance workouts to 2 sessions, and with one game, and then obviously one training session as well, one sort of cricket specific session. So it's been going okay. It's been working out pretty well this year as opposed to last year. And basically, one thing I've also found is that the strength and power that I've gained in the off season definitely helps with the fitness on the field, especially with my bowling and my fielding, quicker around the field, definitely quicker between the wickets. One thing that I do struggle with is that if I am batting for a long period of time, you know, that the endurance factor does come into play. Obviously, with powerlifting, the short, sharp movements. The endurance factor does come into play, but you know, as the season goes on and I'm playing more often, my fitness levels do tend to increase, and my power levels tend to remain pretty steady throughout the season. That's what I've found this year. So you know, at the end of this season, I guess I'll sort of look back and I'll think, well, what can I improve for next season? And I do think with the lifting in particular, the schedule or the amount of work that I do on a particular game will determine my training schedule for the next week, if that makes sense. So if I have an easy game on Saturday, then next week I'll probably train a little bit harder. And then if I have a heavy game, I'll probably just have a back off training session, if that makes sense.
It certainly does, and that's an important part of anyone who's training and playing cricket, no matter what method of training they're using. You have to monitor your fatigue levels and know where you are, understand your body, and it's not always soreness, is it? Sometimes it can be a bit more subtle than that. So what signs do you keep your eyes open for when you're in season and you're sort of trying to monitor your fatigue levels?
Definitely a good question, and that's probably not straightforward to answer, but one thing you do notice is sort of your general motivation. If your motivation's dropping for your sessions, then that's a good sign, I guess, that you need to just sort of back off a little bit. Another one, sometimes, you know, like now I've got a couple of sort of nagging injuries, nothing too serious, but little things that sort of you know, when you're running around the field, that's not right, you know, that's a bit of a tweak there, especially my ankles, because of bat, ball and field, you know, it does take its toll on the legs. So little things like that, little warning signs, little niggles, motivation levels, I think they're probably the key things that I do notice. And if those start to sort of come into play, then I guess, you know, sort of stretching and definitely foam rolling, get massages quite often. So I sort of up those. And then, as I say, if my motivation levels are dropping, then I just need to curb my enthusiasm, I guess, for the training.
Another thing people worry about when they're doing strength training is that there's this sort of general idea that someone might get too bulky or too stiff. It's very hard to pin down exactly what people are afraid of, but they just get the idea, I think, that there's a a bodybuilder in everyone just waiting to pop out if you you lift up a couple of dumbbells. So do you see that as a problem at all? And if you do, how do you overcome it?
Yeah, not at all. And that's the question I get asked a lot by you know, some of my teammates and even some of the opposition. You know, sort of when it comes to sort of resistance training. But I think the conflict with bodybuilding and that's the hardest thing to get across. As soon as you mention, oh, I go to the gym and I train for strength, and you know, they automatically think that you're a bodybuilder. And that's something that you sort of have to try and get across to people, that strength training. Okay, you are sort of building muscle in the process. That is a sort of byproduct, but the main goal is to sort of improve strength, and obviously a bigger muscle can produce more force and more strength. But again, I think genetics come into fact. If you've got a long, sort of tall, long levered bowler, the chances are that he's not going to put on a great deal of muscle size in a short period of time. So I think you just got to monitor that. And if someone is getting too big, which you know yourself, it's not easy to put muscle on. You know, but if someone does put muscle on, you can just basically reduce the volume of work that they're doing and just sort of monitor that. So it's not as easy as just turning up to the gym, lifting a few weights, and all of a sudden you turn into, you know, Incredible Hulk. It's a lot of hard work and you know, practice behind that. It's not just turning up and getting big in the gym. It's being sensible about your training and making sure the things that you are doing in the gym will sort of transfer to the field. So, you know, a lot of stuff I will get people doing, or myself doing, a sort of you know, free weight movements as opposed to machine based. Try and sort of make sure that everything I do in the gym will have some sort of carryover. But bearing in mind that everything that you do in the gym is sort of general. Anyway, there's nothing more specific than playing cricket or doing the act of cricket itself. So everything that you do in the gym is general, but you can at least make an attempt to try and get the sort of the general strength to transfer into your game.
And is it possible to make strength improvements during the season, or do you just have to maintain what you've improved while you are training in the winter?
Yeah, again, this is something I'm learning. I've read a few texts from renowned strength coaches that state that, you know, increasing strength throughout the season is pretty tough. So you've just got to try and maintain that. But then saying that, you know, occasionally sometimes I've sort of got a bit carried away and set a sort of personal best during the season in one of my lifts. So it's sort of a tricky one to say. You know, it's difficult. Maybe across the board, you could probably say that, yeah, just try and maintain your strength gains. But I guess everybody's different. So, you know, you can at least try if you're fit enough and you've got the strength to do so. Yeah, definitely. You know, every week is different. You might have a quiet week, you might have a busy week, you know, cricket-wise. And if you have a quiet week, then why not take advantage in the gym and sort of try and lift heavier than you did sort of the previous week or previous couple of weeks. So I guess during season, what I'm trying to say is you probably just go with the flow and see how that works.
I suppose it depends how well you know how you're feeling and how well you understand your the way that you're moving in the gym and the way that you're feeling in the gym. So you have to have been lifting for a little while to understand that feeling. So if we're talking about, let's talk about complete beginners, because I'm sure there'll be people listening to this who think, okay, it sounds interesting. How do I get started? How would somebody get started with powerlifting if they're playing cricket as well at the weekends?
Yeah. Obviously, there's the three main lifts, the classical lift, as we mentioned previously, the squat, bench press, and deadlift. The key is to learn the basic movements, so practicing those to start with. Mm-hmm. There are loads of programs out there that you can try. One that I follow in particular is highlighted in an article, obviously, that we have published on the site, the Conjugate System, which you can use for beginners, but I guess you've probably got to have some previous knowledge of how to do the lift before you get really stuck into that. So what I would say is learn the classical lift first, once you've learned how to squat, how to bench, how to deadlift correctly, start adding resistance, and then you've got all the derivatives of those exercises that you can start to layer on top of that afterwards to sort of improve.
So start with something basic to learn the lift. Don't be a hero to start with. Get the basic movements right, and then gradually start increasing the weight as you get more confident with the movements themselves.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely learn the technique, and you know, when you increase the load, you know, then you pretty much sort of, obviously with lifting heavy weights, there will be a point where there will be some technical breakdown, but it's important that you try your best to sort of maintain the best technique possible. Yeah, definitely.
And if people want to find out more, you've got a website.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Yeah, it's www.thefitnessstudioleeds.co.uk. That's a general fitness website, obviously not cricket-specific, but, you know, if you want to ask me any cricket-specific questions, by all means, you can go through the website and contact me there.
Absolutely, and you can get in touch with Brian through the show as well. That's another way of getting in touch if you want to email us on coach@pitchvision.com. We can talk powerlifting advice and reps and sets and all that good stuff. Brian Waddle, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, David. Thank you very much.
Cheers.